This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and no one else. Well, there are loads of people here. There are loads of lovely people here. Johnny Jensen and Gareth Cairns are both here in the studio with me. But my erstwhile co-host has skived off for the day. And we hope things are going all right for her.
She needs to be very careful because I might just get in that seat over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Gareth used to do a show on his very station, so he's getting withdrawal symptoms now. So, yeah. So, anyway, welcome back. And we've got another packed part of the show for the second half of the show. We've still got loads of tweets coming in, which is great. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. Really interesting, great conversation with Johnny around what it is to be a man and about communication. In my experiences, men and women, myself included, have to feel safe to confidently be able to communicate their thoughts and feelings. It took me 50 plus years, but it's so powerful and liberating when you can.
That's the thing, realising... Right, when we get to this age, we're like, oh, if only I'd known that when I was 30.
Yeah.
But actually, that's the journey we've been on.
It is, yeah. You're absolutely right. And, you know, we can wish our way our lives, all kinds of things, can't we? But it's about learning. It's about a learning experience as you go through life. And as you identified right on early on, quite often those learning experiences are quite painful. You know, but it takes that to make us jolt out of our complacency sometimes.
Absolutely. And yeah. For people that pray, right, the funny thing is you pray and you say, oh, God, fix this situation, which you means like, oh, make my marriage work, right? Yeah. And then, but we think that if we believe in God or whoever's going to answer our prayers, they're going to answer it exactly as we want.
Yeah.
No. They might just give you a really tough experience so that you get to where you wanted to get to in the way that you needed to get there.
It's interesting. I can't remember where I read it, but it had a profound effect on me. And it was a self-help book or something of some kind. And they made a very similar point to you. They said, if you're asking the universe to deliver something, you need to be incredibly precise.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can ask for something and get it, but you don't get it in the way that you wanted it. Yeah. You know, silly example, like, you know, help me lose weight, and all of a sudden you lose your leg in a car accident. Yeah, there you go. You're 2 stone lighter immediately. And it's a truism, isn't it, that sometimes we don't think about the ramifications of wanting something and how that will happen.
And that is being present in the moment so that we get the lesson. There's always a lesson. If we can notice that, then we can grow absolutely every single day.
Absolutely. And once again, Tracy's just tweeted you as well, Johnny, saying fantastic conversation. I saw another tweet, which I now can't find. Oh, there it is. DG East. Hi, Vanilla Web. Please can you give us a shout-out to a suddenly busier vehicle supplier arranging deliveries and de-hire collections. Well, I hope that's mine that you've got. Because my new car's been delayed, which is a bit of a problem.
When did you order it?
January.
I ordered mine in February. It just got delivered today.
Yeah, really? Yeah, mine was due in at the beginning of October, and it's now, they're talking about December, which is a bit of a problem because the car I've got at the moment has got to go back in 2 weeks, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to do about that.
It's always the way there was.
Yeah, I mean, I could roll it over, but in order to roll it over, it then needs an MOT, a service, and all the other things that I wasn't planning on doing before I gave it back, to be honest, but we shall see. These things are sent to try us, aren't they?
And they reckon that's why, price of vehicles are still quite high for second-hand used vehicles, 2 to 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got a lot of contractors that are obviously the lease vehicles out, especially trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they put an order on, because they're obviously their leases is coming up, but they can't get a truck or an order through for like up to 12 to 18 months. Mm. So it's sent the other used vehicles sky high. So they're like, so if we can't get a new one, we'll get a 2 or 3 year old truck. Yeah.
The whole car market's in meltdown because, you know, There's a semiconductor shortage, which is what's caused the main problem. A lot of the supply around cars is made in Ukraine. And, of course, that's come to a halt as well. The Chinese semiconductor market's down the toilet. That's put pressure on the second-hand car market. But I tell you, if you think it's bad here, my eldest son lives in France, and you can't buy a car for anything. You can't buy a second-hand car. They're just, nobody sells them. They just don't sell them. And it's really, I've told the story before. When he moved out to France, he had an old transit van, so a UK-registered transit van. And he drove out to France with all his worldly goods in it into his new house. And then the van was due an MOT. But the pandemic struck, so he wasn't allowed to travel back to get an MOT. So he called everybody and went, what do I do? And they said, we'll get a French MOT. So the French MOT lasts 2 years, but it's a lot more stringent than a UK MOT. So he took it to a garage, and they just laughed at him, and they went, "MOT in that." So he, and he went, "Why?" And they said, "It hasn't got a floor; it's rusted away." So he welded it up and took it back, and they went, "We're still not doing that." So he had it out in the front of his house. A guy knocked on his door, and he went, "Your van," a French guy, "Your van, is it for sale?" And he went, "Yeah, but it's got no MOT, and the floor's knackered." And they went, "Fine. Give you €1,000 for it." Yep.
Because no one could get a van.
Yeah, because they couldn't get a van. And he saw him about 6 months later driving around. He'd had it registered in France, because Jamie registered it as off the road and all the rest of it back in the UK. He'd had it not, you know, gone through the import thing, although it was already in the country, and got it registered as a French vehicle. But it still didn't have an MOT, and the floor was still hanging out of it. And Jamie went, "Yeah, you're doing? Yeah, yeah, it's fine."
His need was great enough.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always someone.
Yeah, you just can't buy a second-hand car. Although Jamie ended up buying a tractor, because he couldn't get a car. Nice. He bought a tractor with a trailer on it for things around. Anyway, yeah. I think that's the situation. The car situation is going to be difficult. But as Terry from DG East Vehicle Suppliers is saying, it's starting to ease a little bit now, and deliveries are starting to come through. But not been easy. Cool. As I said earlier, we've been doing a series of interviews with the lovely folks at the Business Terrace at Maidstone Council in Maidstone. And this week we've got a recorded interview with Chris Lyle. Chris is the business advisor of Mentor at the Business Terrace, and also works for Let's Do Business. So let's hear what Chris had to say. I'm with the lovely Chris Lyle. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's lovely to see you. I think we've known each other virtually for a long time. I think we met once in the past before.
Yes, probably at a networking function in my previous life somewhere, yes.
I think we did. Well, it's lovely to see you again, Chris. So we're in the Maidstone Business Terrace, where you're based. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Chris, and your role here and what you do?
Okay, so I'm Chris Lyle. I'm business advisor working for the Let's Do Business Group. And I work for them on their behalf at Maidstone Borough Council. I feel that Maidstone Borough Council are a very, very proactive council. I'm not on a hype here with them, but they do have a face-to-face business advisor on site in Maidstone, and that's what I do.
Okay, so your role is helping people start up or grow their businesses?
It could be anything. Startups, pre-startups, businesses looking for growth, businesses in trouble. I'm just literally a go-to signposter, and then I go from there, really.
Fine. So, you know, if somebody comes along and says, "Hey, Chris, I need help with this," or "I need advice on this," you will say, "Well, you need to speak to Jill or Fred or Bill or the bank or whatever," and move them into talking with someone that can help them.
So to start off with, I'll try and help them myself.
Yep.
My background is banking. Used to be a business manager for one of the major banks. Left there last April. Fell into this role, love it. And I guess the first thing I do is see what I can do to help with my existing knowledge, which doesn't go away, it's still there. And then if I know someone who's an expert in the field they particularly want to talk about, then yes, I look for someone to help them.
Cool. Now, this might be a kind of hard question. We'll see how it works out. But have you a feel for
the predominant types of businesses that come to you? So what I'm thinking here is, you know, what the business makeup of Maidstone is as a town. Is it mostly service businesses or, you know, do you ever get people going, right, I'm going to build cars or I'm going to build a nuclear power station or whatever?
So a couple of answers to that one. To be honest, a lot of people will come to me, whether they're startups or existing businesses, just to see what funding's out there, what help's out there. And I think, particularly after we did the grant work last year, that is the first conversation 95% of the time I will have with someone. And then we will move on talking about other support. I couldn't put a name to a specific sector. Retail's still out there. A lot of businesses, particularly pre-starts and startups, will come and talk about a passion that they have as a hobby and they want to turn into a business. So it's working out how they can do that with the figures, competition, what they've actually got, etc.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. That's a great answer. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, and most businesses, whatever stage they're at the moment, are looking at their finances and trying to work out how to do things. I know from being involved with a number of startup businesses, startup finance is quite a difficult area for a lot of businesses. They don't know where to go. You know, 50 years ago, you went to the bank. Now you're wasting your time going to a bank asking for startup money.
50 years ago, I was in the bank working there. yeah, you're right. So for startups, it did used to be go to the bank, they'd just do a credit score. Well, they wouldn't just do a credit score, but you could get money for helping your starting your business. There are a few grants out there at the moment. And of course, the startup loan, which is a government-based loan, which we do at Let's Do Business.
Right.
And it's all about knowing your figures, getting your business plan right, look at your cash flow, and that's where I come in and love doing what I used to do. So I bring that into it.
That's cool. No, absolutely. And I guess it's a very similar situation for businesses that are already established and need to grow. It's about understanding where their market is and what their potential for growth is.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of need out there at the moment as well in terms of actual cash flow. So it's not just startup finance. A lot of us are suffering. You know, we've got huge energy bills. The price of everything's going up. You know, we have a cost of living crisis, but of course that affects businesses too. And the knock-on of that for anyone in business is, of course, if you've got staff, they're all going, I need a pay rise, I can't live. So help with finances, I think, is probably one of the biggest issues at the moment. I don't know if you see that.
Yes, it's quite interesting. I went to see a business yesterday, actually, and they were looking to see it's a new business, and just looking to see what support was out there. And I just happened to be sitting waiting, and I looked at their air conditioning, and I thought, low case grant, let me talk to them about that and see if it could help them with their air conditioning. But straight away, they were like, yes, this is costing us £30-40 a day. What can we do to get new upgrade? So I think that was a really good example of where the energy crisis, the cost of bills, I saw potential to help them with the grant funding, and it all came together hopefully for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it just takes an outside eye sometimes to spot those opportunities, doesn't it? That says, you know, you're paying a fortune for that, and that's one of your problems, you know. Change the light bulbs or something.
Exactly that, yes. It's a difficult world out there, and it's having to think outside the box. And I do find being, in inverted commas, a business advisor, people do think that you are the guru in everything and you will come out with the answer, but you can't.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you're right. And there's a tendency to get, you know, upset about that if you think, well, you know, I can't help you. Yeah, I really can't. What can I say? You know, we don't need cannonballs anymore or whatever it is you're making. So I do get that. And people sometimes leave talking to someone too long. Yeah, so they get into trouble and then they panic. And then they come to see you and go, I need help. And you go, well, you really should have said something a while ago. Do you experience that?
I would say yes. Yes, sorry. So in my past experience and even now, it's always talk to the bank before you do anything. Don't worry about talking to the bank. They are there to help you. And yes, you're right. I think businesses too often just plod on, if that's the right terminology, thinking they can do it on their own, when there is help and there is support out there, and it's just going somewhere like myself to try and help them find that support and where it is.
No, absolutely. And I think the main lesson here is organisations like Maidstone Borough Council and Let's Do Business are incredibly important these days in helping businesses take off, get established and take off. We're reliant on small business more than ever now in terms of growing businesses. Sadly, we lost 396,000 businesses over the last 18 months. But hopefully, you know, the rate of new business startups is coming along, and people like you, Chris, are helping that along. So all power to you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you for your time too, Paul.
Pleasure. See you again soon, Chris.
That was Chris Lyle from the Business Terrace in Maidstone. The community workspace and shared office space, and Chris is the business mentor for the terrace. Chatting in there about small business and all the things we need to keep us going. Do you know what, though? It's time to talk to Gareth. It's an absolute pleasure, to welcome back on the show. You haven't been for a while, have you, Gareth?
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you, Paul, for inviting me.
No, you're always welcome. It's Gareth Cairns from ZC Social Media. We're going to talk a little bit about ZC Social Media, but more than that, we're going to talk about ZC Live, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So just give the listener a quick overview of ZC Social Media and what it is you guys do and a bit about you.
Yeah sure. So ZC Social Media was founded by my business partner and wife, Zoe Cairns, back in recession of 2008.
Yeah.
That's where it all came about. So basically off the back end of where Zoe was a mortgage broker, the leads started drying up, so she took to Facebook, which just came out, joined a couple of Facebook groups, and tried to get her expertise across to the wider audience that you would not talk to coming into the office or seeing in the street. It came to a point where she was bringing in that much business, she started delegating that out to the other IFA mortgage brokers, and it got to the point then where people are actually starting to actually book her in all their businesses and actually paying her for to teach them how to do it on social media as well. ZC Social Media was formed, and the agency then it just sort of went leaps and bounds. So we grew big, we came back down, and then but basically it's, you know, the way we had the business and the agency sort of worked out was we didn't want to be too big. We wanted to be the small agency. We wanted to be the agency that bolted on to another business's marketing department, if that makes sense. And I think, you know, our clients really appreciate that now. They can just pick up the phone and actually talk to anybody within the team rather than having an agency of 200 people and just maybe getting an account manager and stuff like that. So, yeah, it works really well. And we've had some great opportunities to meet some fantastic businesses and people, including yourself, around Kent. And I was just thinking this on the way down as well. I was thinking, why have you not got an MBE yet?
Me?
Yeah, you ain't.
Because no one's nominating me, guy, I guess. So, yeah,
I was thinking this. I've seen, obviously, people getting their MBEs and stuff like that around Kent. So I'm thinking, why have you not got it? Because you help so many businesses within Kent, and you've been doing it as long as I've been over in England.
Yeah.
And I always remember your name and, you know, what you do and how you help people. And that sort of ties into the story of ZC Social Media as well. You know, you've helped us quite a lot, connecting with people and actually getting sort of our name and our brand out there. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you for your kind words. If anyone's listening, you can nominate me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And if there's anybody listening that has nominated a person before and knows the process, even get in contact with me and show me how to do it.
You might have to review your cheesy tunes selection. What's going on.
Do you think I should pick something for King Charles? Something spaniel orientated or something, I don't know. Sorry, Charlie. I'll behave myself. That's very kind of you to say. Obviously, I know ZC very well, and yourself and Zoe, and all the great things you've done. And one of the great things that you have done and continue to do and have come back to do now that we're allowed to come back and do it is ZC Live.
Yeah, sure. So ZC Live has been going now. Probably this is going to be going on our fourth year. We had to obviously cancel because of the big C word.
Yeah.
We did have one arranged for sort of towards the end of COVID.
Yeah.
But we had a council because we didn't think the time was right.
Yeah.
It was sort of on the time where events were coming back, and it was like, do we do it? Don't we do it? And we're like, yeah. Do you know what? We're not going to do it. Let's just put it to 2022.
Yeah.
Let things settle down. We're actually going for, we're not going for a full ZC Live like we did before, where we had over 400 businesses attend. We're going for like a sort of soft launch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But our main goal hasn't changed year in, year in, and that for us is to help businesses to get on social media and find out how it can help them. And so we got some great speakers lined up for that day. So yeah, it's gonna be quite a good fun day.
Mm. So as you say, ZC Live was an event. It's a free event. I mean, that's the thing about this. You know, it's a completely free event. You've been doing it for a number of years. Obviously, we had the hiatus that we had with everybody else with COVID and lockdowns and all the rest of it. But it became before that, it became a very, very definite part of the calendar, didn't it? Of things that happened in Kent and the Greater South East, and people look forward to it every year. It's a big event. I've been to all of them, thoroughly enjoyed all of them. You've had some fantastic speakers. I still remember the guy that you had from the Ministry of Defence a few years ago, and the guy from NATO, and it was a big eye opener. He got up on a stage and he showed some pictures of a jet screaming across the screen and missiling some things. And you thought, oh, okay. He went, actually, that's live.
Wow.
And we went, whoa, you've just bombed somewhere? Yep. And that was live. You go, why are you showing this? And he says, because it scares the hell out of the enemy. Right, okay. You remember that?
Yeah, that was NATO. NATO.
Yeah, it was NATO, wasn't it? Yeah.
Their marketing is quite good, but they have a lot of expertise within. They got their new place now out in Belgium now, so they got their new offices and that. But when we went over and seen NATO, it was nice. It was definitely an eye opener because obviously you're dealing with marketing and putting out stuff about NATO, but you're also dealing with a lot of like cyber attacks, I'm guessing, and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about, you know, because ZC Live is about social media, it's about digitization, it's about all those things, isn't it? And we all think about it in terms of business and, you know, getting our little businesses promoted on Twitter or whatever. You don't think about how social media is used for other things, which is what the big eye-opener with the NATO guy was. You know, they see it as a field of operation. Yeah.
Yeah.
A psychological warfare, I guess we call it, where they show you things on social media that they're doing and their capabilities. And I guess that could be scary if you're on the other end of it. You know, it's a bit like watching some of the things happening in Ukraine at the moment, where you see a video pop up of, you know, four Russians in a tank suddenly disappear off a screen in a big cloud of smoke. But anyway, coming back to ZC Social Media, which isn't normally about starting wars or anything.
Not intentionally, anyway.
Not intentionally, yeah, exactly. You always have a range of really interesting speakers there, and you cover loads and loads of topics. So, as you say, you've kind of downscaled it a little bit this year.
This year we're going to focus on ideally getting in more touch with the people and businesses that are going to be attending ZC Social Media. So before, the platform was always where we had big speakers like Facebook, we had Instagram come and talk.
Yeah.
So with this sort of mini one that we're sort of doing, it's going to be more focused on a workshop sort of basis as well. We're going to have our main speakers on stage, but we're also going to have more workshops.
Hmm.
So it's going to be where the audience can actually ask their questions. Because half the time when you go to an event, you've got so many questions rolling through your brain, and the only way those questions come up is whenever they listen to the speaker and the speaker's telling them, they're like, oh, that makes total sense, but what if?
Yeah, how can I do that?
Yeah. So this is where we're sort of changing that. So we're going to have like a workshop base where you can put up your hand or stand up and actually ask your question. So whenever you leave ZC Live on the 28th of October, you're actually going to have a plan, or you're actually going to be able to do something.
Mm.
And it's not only as well for startup businesses or businesses going on social media, it's for maybe businesses that already have a marketing department, already do social media, but they want to keep up with the latest trends and updates.
Yeah.
So what they'll do is they would book on, obviously, their marketing department or anybody that wants to pop along and, you know, just sort of as a sort of learning sort of day.
No, absolutely. And I think that's really powerful. And I know that most of the delegates are from small and medium-sized businesses. And what I'm about to say is a failure, in my opinion, of big businesses. We live in a world that's highly digital, and everything is being pushed towards digitalization, including currency, account, everything we do. One of the things that scares me about that is how badly big corporations and big organizations can implement technology, which then gets stuck in deadly loops. A classic example: I had a bank account with a very well-known bank, HSBC, and I had some problems with the account. And I rang their support line, and they said, right, we need to do some checks on who you are before we talk to you. What's your date of birth? So I gave it to them, and they went, no, that's wrong. I went, no, I can assure you, I know what my birthday is because I was there when it happened. And they went, no, it's wrong, and we can't talk to you.
That's crazy.
And you go, but clearly you've got my birthday wrong. Why don't I send you a copy of my birth certificate? Well, there's no point. Why is there no point? Well, we can't change this. So I can never talk to you unless I guess what you've put down as my date of birth. Yeah, fairly much.
It's strange.
And you just go, this is bonkers.
Yeah, but that happens on my background of digital marketing as well. Digital transformation inside businesses. That's a classic example of a traditional bank not being able to adapt and evolve as quick as some of the modern ones. I mean, what my Monzo bank account can do is incredible and ridiculous compared to what Nationwide can't do.
Yeah.
But then if people listening translate that to their business and ask the question, what part of this could we do better? But if there was a part of our service that could be faster, slicker, we could learn more about our customers, we could give a better service, what would that be like? I mean, it's not just about digital marketing. We were talking about this whilst the trail was on, but for companies to really become digital, and then they see how social media fits in, then they see how communicating with their customers better fits in.
Yeah, you need to use it as a tool, not a weapon. Mm-hmm. And so many big organisations, it ends up being a weapon. Well, no, it's not deliberate. It's just that there's no human interaction and nobody willing to take responsibility for sorting something out. I could give you over 100 examples of big organisations that have failed technology that's still operating and still going wrong and still has the same problem, and there's no way of interrupting it. It's just in a deadly embrace of this stupidity.
I see where you're actually going back. That's one of my pet hates is whenever you open a bank account, you've got an option. You can open up a bank account which is solely online only, or you can open up a bank account where you can actually go on. So if you don't deal with cash or deal with coins, but the problem is with that, you don't get to speak to a real human. You're dealing with, obviously, an online bot to start off with. Obviously, if that can't sort out, then you may get transferred to somebody else. And then insurance, well, I was going to insure the car, and you can actually get cheaper car insurance as well if you just deal solely online and don't get, obviously, any print. And if, to a certain degree, that's fine, because you're setting the expectations at the start.
Yeah.
You can deal with a non-human online, or you can actually do, if you've got a problem, you can actually get a call and in a way contact somebody with a phone number. But I think, you know, that it's, as much as I love social media, it definitely has a toll on face-to-face interactions. Obviously, you can know anything about anything before and not even have to step outside the front door. You go out to restaurants and you see people stuck in their heads and their phones, like families that are sitting there all on their phones, and it really does make me sad. But obviously, it's going back, Johnny, to what you're saying as well, is about setting the boundaries. You know, this is what we're going to be doing, and this is what obviously working out, you know, this is what I don't like about such and such.
Yeah.
And it's contagious. Somebody else is on their phone. What are you going to do?
No, but families should all watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix if they haven't seen it yet. It gives them a really powerful understanding how the apps and games and how our phones become addicted, you know, we become addicted to them, or the way these companies use them to actually influence our thinking. Not always a bad thing, but the power needs to lie with us so that we understand what's going on.
Absolutely, and I think that's the massive benefit of ZC Live and their workshop format, where you can start to ask questions about what's relevant to you and how you can do things. Because one of the reasons I think behind a lot of this is we digitise things without really thinking about why we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this really a benefit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I can do it. Yeah, but is it a benefit? You know, is it helping anyone? Or could I just carry on doing it the way I was always doing it, which is, you know, just to ring you?
Yeah.
You know, we overlook simplicity sometimes and try to introduce some form of complexity in the mistaken belief that we've made it simple when we haven't.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of having this workshop approach, because people can stand up and go, oh, you need to use this, or you need to use that, or, you know, you need a presence on LinkedIn or whatever. And we go, yeah, okay, well, I'll take your word for it. And we'll start to do something, but then we don't really know why we've done it, and we don't really know how to do it to suit what we're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing as well. Mm. You know, when people come to ZC Live, you know, whenever we sort of follow them up later on, it's, you know, it's knowing what your return on investment is. And we spoke about this earlier on about, you know, is your return on investment where you want more sort of brand awareness, or is it more sales?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that just go, they maybe go away and like, oh, we got all this information, what do we do with it?
Yeah.
So the good thing about the workshops is, you know, it's the way the workshops run throughout the day, it's like a sort of, it's like, you know, a journey, you know, a sort of step-by-step sort of guide. And we always say to everybody, you know, if you're coming for the day, take away three things that you're going to sort of implement. Don't worry about everything. Don't get bogged down with everything that you have to do. Take away three things that you're going to implement, that you're going to do whenever you leave, that will help and impact your business online.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, as you say, it's taking place on the 28th of October.
Yes, at Strood Academy.
At the Strood Academy, which is a great environment, beautiful, isn't it? I know it's a school, but it's a fantastic environment. You've been there the last few years as well, haven't you?
It's amazing. The staff and everybody there is absolutely amazing. And the good thing about it as well, it's the thing is with these modern schools, they have got everything. You know, when we open up, when we have that that hallway, you think you're in London somewhere. You know, they've got the big, massive red curtains. They got a guy that's about 20 metres up in the corner that's got the sound and the audio, and it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, obviously you can go to hotels and stuff, but the downside, you go to the hotel, you have to bring in your AV and stuff like that, but it's been really good.
It's got everything there.
Parking as well.
Yeah, it's really modern, isn't it? You know, unlike the school I went to, our school was in Second World War Nissen huts. Seriously, that was our most modern classrooms. Yeah, I am a bit old, mind. But,
well, no, because I can remember those types. It wasn't that my whole school was like that, but I do remember those kind of emergency things, and obviously blackboards, chalk. I mean, boggles, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so there's a number of things happening on the day as well. You've got a VIP breakfast and stuff.
Yeah, so we got NatWest and ABC Network and that are sponsoring the breakfast, so it's a free breakfast.
It's a good job it was HSBC. I blew the whistle on that, wasn't it, rather than NatWest.
NatWest and ABC have been like long-time supporters of ours, and it's, you know, it's great because obviously, you know, we can do a free breakfast. You know, that's the thing. We events, you know, you got to feed the fire, fuel yourself up and get ready, because the day is going to be to a certain degree, it can be as intense as you want it to be, because there's a lot of information to be shared. But it should be a good day. Okay.
And should the marketing person come on their own, or should they bring like the MD as well?
So this is another thing, as an agency point of view, is it's getting the CEO director on board with obviously the idea. And half the battle is, or half the time is they don't understand social media, understand marketing. So they're relying on their marketing person or marketing manager say, hey, this is what it is. So if you've got a director or CEO and they're like, yeah, yeah, we need this 1,000 of followers, we need that. And if their only return investment is followers, it's not going to work, because to a certain degree, it's not in the number, and it's a vanity thing on social media. Everybody knows that followers is a vanity thing. Oh, how many followers you've got? It's like, oh, well, I got this. But they could be followers that are not interested in your product or your service. Mm. You know, it's down to maybe I'd rather have maybe 200 followers on, say, Twitter rather than 100,000 followers on Twitter that are not engaging with me.
Yeah, it's like running a competition for an iPhone, and you've got 1,000 people who want an iPhone, not 1,000 people who want to work with you.
For sure, and this is why we're getting, like, the marketing managers see the event because they're on social media, and they're like, well, we want to come along. So what we're finding, there's a trend now, is they're bringing the people that are the decision makers to the event essential. As well. Because obviously, whenever they're there, they don't have to understand everything. Mm-hmm. However, they get their questions answered from us or from the person that's running the workshop. Mm-hmm. And it works really well. But not only that, there, it creates involvement between the marketing manager and the director, the CEO. It creates that sort of, right, we got this, we can do this. Yeah. And it sort of gets that sort of...
I think there's also a message there. If you've got your MD, CEO, whatever, of a company that's been reticent about adopting digital trends of any kind, you know, it's quite easy to sit in your bubble and go, it's all a fad. Yeah, it's never going to happen. I think Johnny mentioned when he started, you know, in 99, funny enough, the first website of Jobs in Kent went live in November 1999. Wow. And you ring people and they go, the into what? The into where?
The World Wide Web.
Sorry, mate, you lost me. You know, anything new or newish, you know, can be dismissed as a fad. And a lot of people, because they fear it and don't understand it, will dismiss it. And I think one of the benefits of bringing them to something like ZC Life, they can see loads of other people in the same situation that are all just kind of taking this on board and going, do you know, maybe what, there is something here that we need to think about.
Well, they need buy-in. The classic challenge in regards to digital marketing and social media is expecting the marketing person to just take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's madness. Like, let them be the expert at digital marketing and social media. Don't ask them to have a wealth of plumbing knowledge or be an accountant or the rest of the team should be feeding that person with snippets, content, make me a little video, here we are with a customer, guess what I got you today, what can you do with that? Now that's where you can really leverage your marketing person. And expecting them to come back from an event and like brief the whole company, now you need to give them the best springboard for success.
It's definitely a team effort. You know, we a lot of companies, like a plumbing company, they got a big warehouse, they got forklift drivers, they got pickers for orders and stuff like that, and they've got this one girl in the marketing department. And you know what? It used to be the thing where they're doing well on TikTok, and she would come down the stairs with her phone, and everybody would look over and be like, "Oh, here we go. Oh my God, what do I have to do now?" But it's only until the success behind it actually went okay. It was the getting over the fear. Video. But whenever they see the positive comments coming through and they actually see the views of actually how many people have seen it, it's like it's doing really well. There's a place in actually Northern Ireland and it's a really old builder. I need to get the name of it. It's a really old builder's merchants. And their videos is like... Do you know the way you go onto TikTok and everybody's doing like really polished videos? And it's like, how much money have you spent in this 10-second clip? You got this old builder's merchants, wholesale, whatever it is, and it's like a family-run business. And just normal guys and girls, and obviously the dad's the owner, and they're doing this video. And it's like, just normal. It's just like, it's refreshing, if that makes sense. And they're getting hundreds of thousands of views. They've made the news in Northern Ireland and everything. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And you know, and the thing is that's one bit of advice we always give to companies as well, is whenever you're on social media, you don't have to have... fair enough, you've got a polished video, put it on your website, that's fine. But when it comes to social media, people just want to see the people behind the brand. They want to see, you know, what is it really like to sort of work there? And yeah, they do really, really well.
Yeah,
off the back end of it.
It's funny. Well, you were talking about the TikTok video. It's a story I've told many, many times on here. So if you're a regular listener, I'm sorry if I'm boring you with this story, but it is hilarious, and it's pre social media as well. Many, many years ago, I worked in the oil industry, and I was working in Dallas, in Texas. And on the TV, there was a chap called Frank Perdue, and he owned a whole chain of fried chicken stores, yeah, like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Like a lot of American entrepreneurs, he liked to make his own TV commercials. And he used to appear in this TV commercial, big 10-gallon hat on and spurs and all the typical, you know, Texan stuff. And he had a strap line, which is... It takes a special man to make tender chicken. Yeah, it was something like a strap line. Well, it wasn't a special man, it was something, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, they decided to, and they ran these TV commercials for donkey's years, yeah. And they decided to expand over the border into Mexico. And they said, right, what do you want to do about the commercials? He said, oh, I'm going to do the commercials. And they went, yeah, but it's in Spanish. And he went, well, just tell me what to say in Spanish and I'll say it in Spanish. So they go, okay. So they got it translated for him. And he went live on Mexican TV to an audience of about 12 million people. And in faultless Spanish, he said, it takes a hard man to make a chicken affectionate. And they suddenly realised that the person they'd asked to translate it was Spanish, not Mexican, and there was a slight difference in the words. And it just shows you, it was a massive hit, but he was incredibly embarrassed.
And the thing is, the stuff like that, obviously, through embarrassment, creates a viral video, it does.
It takes a tough man to make tender chicken, was his strapline. Yeah. You know, these things could go wrong, can't they? But coming back to what you're doing with ZC Live and who should be there and why they should be there, I think this is where you've kind of hit the nail on the head with what you're doing this year, Gareth, which is getting people to understand how to do something specifically, not just telling them you need to be on TikTok or you need to be on Twitter or you need to be on Facebook or you need to be on LinkedIn. Because that doesn't really help, because I think we all figured that out now, that, you know, you probably need some kind of presence. But it's what you do with that presence and also which presence suits you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because not all social media platforms, for instance, are relevant to everybody.
And that's about the biggest question, that, you know, you don't have to be on every social media platform. You know, we always say it's better to master one social media platform, be good at that, then move on to the next social media platform, because people just get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a startup business and you've got a lot of other stuff to do, a lot of stuff to worry about. You've got your accounts to worry about. You've got you're looking after your clients to worry about. And then it comes to social media. Then you're like, oh, so I've got to do a post now for every social media platform. And it's like, no. Let's start on the platform where your target audience is to start off with, where you think you're going to maximise on it, and then just and sort of work it from there. But the ZC Live, and the good thing about it, the way this it's run and the way it's sort of manifested year by year, it's for any business. You know, you could be a large business, you could be a startup, you could be a business that's not really a business yet, but you have the idea in 6 months to actually go down this route.
Yeah.
And I think it really focuses with the speakers, and that really depends on the speakers and the people and the speakers that are doing the workshop. You know, we've got Content Cal again are coming back, so they're going to be focusing solely on, you know, what's the forecast for social media? What do we need to look out for?
Yeah.
Which is great, obviously, for people that are already in the marketing and want to know exactly what's going to happen maybe a year or two down the line, what trends they should jump on and stuff like that. Obviously, some trends don't work out. And then we've got the workshops of like just starting off and where you got to start. But actually find out if social media is right for you and your business as well, because it's like everything else. If you're not willing to put the time into it, and actually, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I see so many businesses, and they're on the seesaw. And they get to that point at the middle where they're just about to cross over and actually make something and actually get a return on investment. And it's like, it's just cut, done.
Yep. Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but...
Do you know, one of the things, just feeding onto that, and a piece of advice I used to give as well, and on off the back of some of the feedback during events, is you'd say to people, oh, well, what ads do you click on? Or what social media accounts do you follow? And the person would be like, oh, no, I hate all that. Or, oh, no, I use an ad blocker on my browser, so I don't see any ads. And I was like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Like, turn all that stuff off and allow yourself to be served those ads. Okay. If someone offers you a download, click on it. Fill in the form. See what they send you. See how quick they call you back. Like, get curious, whether it's a competitor or whether it's someone in a parallel industry. You know, if you're the business owner or if you're in marketing, get interested in what other people are doing. Like, get under the hood yourself. Which, by the sounds of it, these workshops would be perfect for
I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. She says, Zoe Gareth and the social media team, Zessie's social media team, put on the fantastic events, full of information, takeaways, and so many are free to attend. So glad it's face-to-face again this year. It really makes a difference to physically engage, communicate, and network. And I just love the workshop style too. It's a great way to learn.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yeah, so fantastic. Gareth, if people want to find out more about the event or to book their tickets, whatever, what's the best place to do that?
I'll probably go to the World Wide Web, so www.zclive.co.uk, or jump on the ZC social media's main website. Book your ticket in. I would strongly suggest coming for the breakfast.
And it's free, you said, right?
It's free. Yeah. And it's going to be a bit of networking as well. So if you've never been to an event or a digital marketing event or any event, it'd be really good to come to the breakfast, because it's going to be lighthearted. It's going to be probably just getting to know people as well and stuff like that. And if,
be good. Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you all there, hopefully. For the moment, Gareth, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for inviting me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. You're always welcome. We're almost at the end of the show. I've got a couple of other things that I need to talk about. I can hear a funny buzzing noise now all of a sudden. Don't know what that was. Canterbury Christchurch University are offering businesses a range of services to help their operations, from recruitment to consultancy and high-quality facilities. It's a great opportunity to find out how your business can work with the university, and this is being held on the 10th of November in Tunbridge Wells at the Solomons Institute for Applied Psychology. That's on Christchurch University's campus in Tunbridge Wells, 10:30 to 11:30. You can book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar and finding it there. Also, back again this year is the Great British Business Show, returning to the XL Event Centre, and it's the 44th running of this.
Wow.
It's in London on the 16th to the 17th, as I say, at XL. The 2022 edition is set to be the biggest yet, with over 750 exhibitors, 200 interactive masterclasses, live panel debates, speed networking, and over 200 seminars covering everything you need to know to start or grow your business. The tickets are free. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find all the details there to book your free ticket to the Great Big British Business Show. It's not easy,
easy to say that. No. Oh, no. I want to say Bake Off.
Yeah. I was going to go there. Yeah, halfway through that, I'm going, hold on, are we cooking or what? Yeah, absolutely. Those who can't face the daily commute to London, but live in the outer reaches, i.e. Bromley, but also feel the need to get out of the house, may now have the perfect answer. A new mixed-use working and hospitality destination for Bromley, consisting of flexible workspace, supported by an all-day dining restaurant and bar, and soon to open boutique hotel, all in one place. And it's all set up in the former Bromley Town Hall, which is a gorgeous building, and they've spent millions on it. 20 million, in fact.
Wow, that's how it works.
Yeah. Clockwise is situated in the historic Bromley Old Town Hall, which has been rescued from the Heritage at Risk Register by parent company Castle Forge, which has carried out a £20 million refurbishment of the building, and the building actually dates from 1906. It spans over 62,000 square feet, and Clockwise offers dedicated offices, private desks, a podcast room, a members lounge, cafe, restaurant, terrace and hotel.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds brilliant,
doesn't it? A podcast room.
A podcast room.
That's quite the demands.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're almost there. One of the county's most successful businesses is to relocate to a new site 5 miles away with the prospect of hundreds of more new jobs. And Medway's second largest employer, VT Rice, is moving from its three factories on the Medway City Estate in Strood to a single £100 million plant in Kingsmouth on the Hoo Peninsula. The move to a purpose-built plant on a 40-acre site will mean boss Moni Varma can meet growing demand for his products worldwide and hopefully double his workforce to 600 over the next few years.
Oh, brilliant. Amazing.
Yeah, good news. There's a networking event on October the 27th in Faversham. Join us at the Raj on Thursday the 27th of October for a night of networking. For £30, we'll secure your seat and entitle you to a curry and rice dish of your choice, a selection of breads and a drink. Don't miss out, one is one local to you. Seats for this event are going fast. If you want to find out more or book it, go to caneandco.co.uk/curryandco. So that's Cain and Co, caneandco.co.uk/curryandco. Check it out if you fancy networking there. Oh, and Zoe's busy. She's got a Medway networking event on the 3rd of November. Zoe Cairns, 5:30 till 7:00. It's at the Joiner Shop in the historic dockyard, Chatham. And again, you can find out all about it and book your tickets by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And this is your last chance. This is your last chance to nominate me for an MBE. No, this is your last chance.
You're going to be surprised when I come through.
I would be surprised.
Gareth Cairns did this.
It's your last chance to be nominated for the Maidstone or Tunbridge Wells Business Awards 2022. Entry is free, and in both awards, both Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells, these are the categories: creative digital, customer service, innovation, startup, small business, businesswoman of the year, family business, and construction business. All the details and the entry form can be found by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. And the awards dinner will be jointly, so it'll be Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells joint awards dinner, and that's taking place, I believe, at the Great Danes on the 8th of December. I think that's right. I hope so, because I'm comparing it. And if I haven't got that right, I'll be there in the wrong place on the wrong day.
As long as you're early, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Always a good night.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give you a heads up, the Kent and Medway Business Summit is back. It's taking place on Friday the 13th, 2023, in the award-winning Simpson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. Bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics, the 6th annual summit will focus on the latest news from key projects and leading expert keynote speakers from across the county, alongside Q&A and debate on topics including productivity, sustainability, placemaking and skills. To celebrate the summit being back in its January slot for 2023, we're offering an early bird discount for anyone who signs up for the event over the coming months. Again, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out all about it and book your tickets. But we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to my fantastic guest, Mr. Johnny Jensen.
Thank you, Paul.
Of Team Superdad, to Chris Lyle of Maidstone Business Terrace, and to the wonderful Mr. Gareth Cairns of ZC Social Media. Thank you all for joining us on the show. Thank you for your tweets and your emails. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and see you soon.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.